Welcome to the Trinity Life Podcast. The Trinity Life Podcast is designed to help our church family across both campuses connect with the hearts and stories of our pastors, elders, and ministry staff. In each episode, we step beyond the talking points and formal scripts to have a laid-back, relational, and heartfelt conversation with our leaders. Join us as we get to know the people behind the ministry, their journeys, and the passions that drive them to serve. So we're here with Scott Barger, and I am excited to hear Scott's story, some testimonies of grace, some God working through his life in some awesome ways, and we're really excited to hear that. Scott is the worship pastor, and that covers both campuses, right? You oversee the worship at both campuses.
That's right.
And one of these days we'll get Rachel on here, who's kind of taking care of Nuevo campus, but really, Scott, we just want to dig into a couple main things. Number one, your personal faith story. We want to kind of know where Scott comes from and how God worked in Scott's life. And then we're going to kind of dig into a little bit of kind of your philosophy behind worship ministry and what, you know, what makes you tick there on Sunday mornings and throughout the week as you prepare this family to bring worship to God Almighty on Sunday morning. And so we'd like to do that. You know, Scott's resume is on the Trinity page, and so there's, you know, he's got a very impressive resume. I don't want to get into that because we can see that.
No, I haven't seen that on there. So
well,
I'll
I
have
mean,
to go look.
Not the actual resume, but your about page there on the website that talks about you and just, you know, a lot of your stuff. But we want to kind of dig under that and just really know what makes Scott tick. And so hopefully you can kind of give us some insight into that. And so let's get started. You know, start young age, wherever you want to start, wherever your faith story begins, and walk us through when God showed up.
Wow. Well, that is that's a great story. It's a little longer of a story, but I was raised in the Detroit area. My dad owned a business, grew up a family business actually, insurance, and just very involved in the community what we were involved in, and my dad was, and he was well known, but we really didn't have faith as a family. You know, the Christmas and Easter thing that we do,
mm-hmm.
and we're cultural Christians, but not really. There's a lot of things that happen in throughout our childhood, so a lot of people go through difficult things. I'll start about when I was in middle school. Actually, I'll go to elementary school.
Okay, all right.
I started at elementary school,
years.
And you know, very much into sports. I love sports, but in fifth grade, I decided to go and play in the band, the fifth grade band. I was approached to do that, and it's a funny story. But I wanted to play trumpet, and the band teacher who was checking you out as a fifth grader said, "Oh no, you don't have lips for a trumpet player. You really have great lips for a trombone player." And what that really means, translation, is I've already filled all the trumpet spots with the kids, you know, and I got to fill the trombone spots. So I did trombone for about 3 weeks, and I'm like, I'm done with this. I walked back in, and I said, look, I'm either going to play trumpet or I'm not. And so I'm not going to be in band if I don't. And they said, okay, you can play trumpet. And so I started in music. That's where I kind of started in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And about the time I turned 12, our family, through a series of events that are pretty amazing, but my parents struggled in their marriage, and there was a whole bunch behind that. But a Salvation Army officer who was involved in the Royal Oak community of Detroit area, with my dad was in the Optimist Club, he was in one of the other clubs, and they would ring bells for the Salvation Army. Him and another fella led my dad to the Lord during some very difficult times. In fact, my parents were right in the middle of a separation and headed toward divorce. Mm. And this guy led my dad toward the Lord.
Praise God.
Pretty cool. And so my dad came home, and we started attending the Salvation Army Church. Now, this Salvation Army Church is one of the ones that had a 50-priest brass band that would play every Sunday morning.
Oh, wow.
And a 50-60-voice choir. And we had a youth band that had like 40, 50 kids in it, and would travel. And I just fell in love with the music there as a trumpet player.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 12, I went to music camp. Salvation Army has a phenomenal tradition of music.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to this music camp, and it was amazing. It had like five bands and a bunch of choirs. And and leaders from the church that were involved. And that I gave my heart to the Lord that summer at camp, at a music camp.
At a music camp.
At a music camp.
Through the Salvation Army.
Through the Salvation Army.
Okay. Somebody gave a message. And
Yep. They had a speaker every night, just like regular camps.
Sure.
And but it was all around music. And so gave my heart to the Lord, came forward, went up front, and that began an interesting journey for me in my walk with Christ, because I took it serious. And every year I went back to camp and played in the music camp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, bad theology, but I gave my heart to the Lord again every summer.
Every summer, you know? Sure.
But later on you realize you were rededicating your life to Christ.
I want to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that first time that you gave your heart to the Lord, was there something in the message or something in particular that you can, and some people can, some people can't, that's okay. Was there something in the message in particular that like that a phrase or a concept that really, really melted your heart right there, or relationship or sin or so what was it? Can you remember, or is there something specific?
I don't have a specific memory of that. I know the gospel message was preached, and it was the sin and probably the emptiness, you know, the that longing for relationship with Christ the Father, you know. And I had a great dad growing up.
Sure.
But just that was, it was overwhelming, and that's what the Salvation Army continues to preach today.
Sure.
As a ministry, as a movement. But nothing, I don't have a specific.
No, it's okay. But yeah. I think that's kind of what I was looking for, is that kind of, all right, it was that relational aspect of salvation that brings Almighty God down to a place where, not brings him down, but makes him accessible, right? Christ humbled himself, right? So, to be accessible. So the God was accessible to you and me, the average guy. And that concept, I think, resonates with a lot of people of the salvation story of, I can have relationship with the creator of the universe.
Right.
So, absolutely. No, that's excellent.
Yeah, it wasn't for me, it wasn't like fear of going to hell.
But
it was more the relationship with Christ. And,
sure.
And so that continued to spring in me, doing music in the Salvation Army, playing in the youth band, playing in the adult band on Sunday mornings, and doing camp. And I ended up going to college on a scholarship to play trumpet and be a music major, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a degree in music education, instrumental and choral, and a trumpet performance and a vocal degree, all from Central Michigan University. But what was really cool is I wasn't going to be a music major.
Okay.
I was going to go into the family business.
Okay.
So I actually just went there and played in the marching band, but the trumpet professor, one of the trumpet professors, sought me out as a freshman on the marching band field. It's crazy. I'm out there with 250 other kids, and I get a call from the front. Scott Barger, please come to the front. Freshman Scott Barger. So this trumpet professor says, hey, I want you in my studio. And I said, I'm not going to be a major. I'm going to do business for my family. And he said, doesn't matter. I'll do it for free. I'll do lessons and be in my studio and play with the group for free. And that, he's still a mentor today. Actually, we still play together. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, he's well into his 80s, if not 90, and still plays phenomenal trump, and still play with him. And he mentored me both musically in our life in Christ and our college campus, which was amazing.
Sure.
I got involved in Christian fellowship on campus at Central, great Christian fellowships, got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, almost went on staff with Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in a church over there and was just very active in Christian fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And so my journey went from faith and music has always been kind of combined.
Sure.
The whole way.
Okay.
And so it's interesting, in the church, a lot of times you're great, as you know, a lot of times your folks that are involved as leaders and servants in the church are often people who are involved in music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found in the Salvation Army. They were either part of the music group, and because there's great leadership principles that are taught through the journey of music.
Oh, absolutely.
And worship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, jumping way ahead, I was involved in all this ministry stuff. I made a decision to go into music and into ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember calling my dad and going, hey, I think I'm going to do this Youth for Christ. I was approached to be the Youth for Christ director in Isabella County.
Mm-hmm.
and also do music in the area. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for a while. Mm-hmm. And then my mentor in the Salvation Army growing up, he'd, mm-hmm. he taught me lessons. Mm-hmm. He retired, and the Army, the Salvation Army, asked me to be the music director at like 22 years old,
mm-hmm.
Just out of college with the, mm-hmm. you know, young family for the Salvation Army in Eastern Michigan, which is mm-hmm. one of the premier music divisions of the Salvation Army world, mm. Chicago's, New York, Detroit, some mm-hmm. of those. And I cut my teeth in leadership on in this music world in the Salvation Army.
Sure.
It was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to lead the camp as the music director that I was saved at.
That you were saved at. Wow.
So that's why you go down this
awesome.
Bunny trail, you know.
Right.
So... So I go back to camp, and now I'm leading the music program and making mm-hmm. sure kids get the gospel.
And watching these kids,
yeah.
watching these Scott Barkers continue to find that relationship with the Lord and to continue to give their lives to Christ and to continue to see that gospel story, this little gospel story cycle, you know, in that little corner of the world, just continue to repeat itself, which is so, that's so awesome. So you come to Christ at this, and you said, you know, you kind of touched on a little bit of like this, you know, rededicated concept every year. What did your early years in walking with Jesus look like? You mentioned there was a mentor. What did that kind of look like? Was there a lot of Bible study, a lot of fellowship? Where did you see God really mostly moving to grow you in your faith?
You know, there was a phenomenal youth group that was also tied in the music group at the
sure.
Salvation Army.
Sure.
And we had great youth leaders who mentored this generation, my generation of kids that were there, both mm-hmm. musically. He also ran the youth band.
Okay.
But he ran the youth ministry. And it was all lay-led, mm-hmm. but Ed and Sandy Rowland, they were amazing. And they poured into these, you know, kids like me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was phenomenal. We did a lot of youth events. We would go and do concerts and work with other churches that had bands and do some group concerts. So it was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really all in that Salvation Army world where I got the footing in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Some great Bible study nights, I remember, mm-hmm. where it just felt like God was moving in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That then transfers to college at Central. And at Central, there was a phenomenal moving of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
And I always said, you know, Central was known as a party school,
mm-hmm.
but where God is strong, Satan's going to try and rise.
Oh, absolutely.
So
he's
God
not
was
stupid,
super
right.
strong at Central. And so that continued Bible studies and Christian fellowships. I was involved in, I used to tell people I majored in Christian fellowship.
Right.
Excuse me, I got a little raspiness to my voice today. But so a lot of that formation happened in college, and there was a guy who ran a singing group my wife and I met in called New Life Singers, and
mm-hmm.
and he took a number of men under his wing like me
mm-hmm.
and mentored us. I still have the book that we walked through.
So
and just mentored these guys, mm-hmm. and many of them have become leaders in ministry today. In fact, one of the buddies of mine who he was Bill Bright's right-hand assistant, Campus Crusade for Christ,
right,
until he passed away.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
And we went to college together, and it was because of... I'm going to cry. But because this guy, Ed McCallum, who's mm-hmm. just an amazing mentor man of God.
Who was faithful to God's
yep.
call in his life to individually
yep.
mentor these young men.
That's amazing.
So this mentorship that you talk about, if you need a minute, go ahead. But this mentorship that you talk about, if I could dig into that a little bit, because I think, you know, there's a lot of people that have someone that the Lord's laid on their heart, that have someone that God has really, you know, kind of burdened them with, and they're like, okay, what now? Talk to me about, I think there's kind of two facets, and maybe more, but two main facets of mentorship, and one is kind of like that. You said you went through a book, and there's kind of this structured time, and then there's a mentorship of just like being a friend and doing life on life. Patrick says life on life,
mm-hmm.
Doing life together. How do you see that flesh out in the different men? Because you mentioned several mentorship relationships you've had. Where do you see the pluses and minuses of those? Can you unpack that a little bit, mentorship and what that meant for you?
I think it's, as a leader, as a pastor, I think it's I think it's going to align with the person's gift set, their strength.
Sure.
You know, I'm a highly relational person, so I like doing the mentorship through relationship. Mm-hmm. Some people need a little more structure, so you have a book. You know, mm-hmm. Pastor Gary, you know, he great tool maker, great tool user, and you walk through a tool of part of a mentorship, but it was also relational too.
Sure, sure.
So I think I tend to go that way, although I do have relationships with some men that I've gone through materials and resources with them, but a lot of it's just some of the guys I have right now that I would call my friends. I wouldn't even say mentor, but we sharpen each other. It happens relationally.
Right, right. Both ways.
And music is a great platform for that.
Oh, of course.
Worship and music, like every worship practice, just connecting and talking and walking. And that's a big part of how those weave together for me.
Mm-hmm.
I tell this people all the time, I get to do the two things still today that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I still get to do worship, ministry, music, and I still get to do camp. And that's where, you know, back at that camp called Echo Grove where I was running music camp, that's where I gained a love for camping and ended up moving in the Salvation Army to be a music director for all of Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, and run this little camp for them at the same time.
Right.
You know, and so that's part of the journey. I found another mentor there named Earl Mott. And Earl was just this incredible man of God that helped me walk through some of the things that happened to me when I was a kid. It was just amazing. You know, when you start having flashbacks of your childhood of some pretty tragic things that have went on and didn't even know it, this guy helped me walk through those things and process and come to be able to thank the Lord for the difficult things that happened in your life, because that now today as a camp director and a worship guy, those things ooze out of me as I speak to youth at youth camp, as I lead worship to, you know, our congregation here. My heart is to just draw people closer to the Lord, because when you're in his arms, that's the best place to be.
Right. No, and it, you know, being the hands and feet of Jesus and loving those people relationally like he did, I think that it's right there in his arms and being an extension of his arms, really, too. I think so that's fantastic. I was, you know, I find the mentorship concept fascinating, disciple making concept fascinating, because there are those two suites, those two kind of areas that people tend to do. Do you, and as that translates to now, you said you do. You're more on the relational side. Do you lean into some structural stuff though too with certain people as it's needed, or do you find yourself really just kind of hang out on the relational side of mentorship?
No. Certainly there are some great, there's a couple of great books. In fact, one of the ones I went through with my mentor, Be the Leader You Were Meant to Be. I think they brought it back into print by Leroy Imes. What a great little book.
Sure.
Is what Ed McCallum took me through.
Mm-hmm.
There are other tools and resources that are out today as well.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll mostly around a book. Some of the great books that are out there right now with men that are cultivating men and, and that kind of thing. But but I do tend to go toward the relational side. I love people. I think people who know me know that. I just
love engaging. Absolutely. But I think it's very valuable, and I think we can appreciate the well-roundedness that says, okay, our worship pastor is not saying, nope, this is the only way, and this is the, you know, and that there are different people, and that there are different methods, and that there are different ways to be effective in discipleship. And I think we need that as a church. So that's excellent to see. Where do you see, you know, again, as you begin to mature in Christ, become a dad, get married? Well, first of all, give us a little bit of timeline, a couple hop, skips, and jumps as far as like, you know, when jobs came, when wife came, when kids came, and how you then came to Trinity Fellowship.
Sure.
So can give us a little bit of a loose timeline there.
Yeah, I'd love to. So my wife and I met in college. She was in the music department as well, music and education. We both have education degrees and performance. We got married while we were still in college. And then... I took a year off before I even did my student teaching, because I was asked by the church to be the campus pastor in Mount Pleasant two college students, still a college student, but Ed McCallum, he decided to go to seminary. So my mentor left. So they asked me to kind of lead that and lead that music group. And Youth for Christ approached me to run Youth for Christ for Isabella County. So so that was a beginning of our life. We got married. We got married, took a 2-day honeymoon, and we were on separate sides of a camp on a trip called Colorado Challenge with Youth for Christ. So my wife, I still owe her a honeymoon, you know. So
It's on recording now. I know. You called it now. So,
but so that's the first step. Then a Salvation Army called me up where I grew up, and we moved to Detroit area.
Okay.
And I started this music. I was actually the divisional music director and the divisional, what was called the community center director, which was kind of all of the day camps and all of the facilities where they would have gymnasiums and that kind of thing. So I did both things there. I've always seemed to do two things.
Sure.
We had our first son 33 years ago.
Okay. So we're then, so we're in mid-90s now.
Yeah, 92 is when my son was born.
Okay, so you're in Detroit in 92, just after college, taking on these couple of ministries.
Yep, music, which was crazy. My job was to not only do music education and music leadership development, but I was doing all these performance things.
Like, oh, sure.
So I'm playing the national anthem for the Red Wings games. And, you know, anytime we needed a group, I'd pull together some really, really great musicians. And Thanksgiving Day Parade, I put together the Salvation Army band that marched in that. So it was really kind of fun era of life. Sure. Ran the camps for the Salvation Army. Loved that. In fact, my son was born in the middle of a youth camp.
Mm-hmm.
So during the middle of music camp, I had to leave and come back. And it's a crazy story. But so that was kind of phase one. Went out to Nebraska.
When?
About 3 years later. So about 95-ish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, it had been like two. I was out there 4 years. And I was back to Echo Grove by 98. So probably
so
90,
late
94.
90s.
Yeah, 90.
Or early 90s, or mid 90s to late 90s, kind of that section.
Yeah, 94, went out to Nebraska, did both that music and the camp job, loved it. Some things happened where we felt called to come back home.
Okay.
My wife's dad died while we were out there and wanted to be home near family.
Sure.
And the Salvation Army called me up and said, we'd like you to be the camp director now of the camp I was running music at. So I came back home, ran the camp there for what I thought was going to be forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing the run of the camp, and God is blessing the camp, and got it out of debt, and just amazing things, falling in love with camp. In fact, while I was in Nebraska, I'm like, I got to learn more about how to run a business. I've got these music degrees. So
sure.
I got a master's in public administration.
Okay.
While I was at University of Nebraska.
And you found that really, really helpful, really useful.
Super helpful. You learned everything you would learn with an MBA,
uh-huh.
but when the outcomes aren't always financially driven, public service and nonprofit.
It shifts the focus a little bit.
A little bit different. Your outcomes aren't always the bottom dollar. It's about how many kids come to know Christ. That's priceless, right?
Sure, sure.
So we came back in 98, and I was here for 2 years in Detroit area.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from a headhunter, and I never really applied for a job. My dad said, why don't you do that interview? You've never really done an interview. Just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And crazy, crazy. I'm not going to get into it, but it was just really amazing. God showed how he wanted me to become the next president of Maranatha Bible and Missionary Conference. But I always still did music
down in
Muskegon.
Down in Muskegon. Okay.
Yep. So I did that for about 5 years.
Okay.
I got them out of debt.
So now we're early 2000s.
Yep. Okay. Yep. About 2000, developed a lot of great relationships, did a bunch of music, continued to do music on stage there, got involved in the local church there, did music. And that's where I kind of got engaged with starting my master's in divinity through North Park Seminary.
Sure.
And so we're loving Muskegon, and through a series of events, we decided to, that's probably one of the difficult times. My wife, her health got bad.
Okay.
There was a lot of politics at that particular ministry.
Sure.
God still works through all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter what. And I went on staff at Cornerstone University to run a leadership department and do some teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And loved that for, but I felt called to camping.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up back here in, right here in Big Rapids, mm-hmm. 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Cran Hill Ranch asked me to come
mm-hmm.
and be its next president mm-hmm. 20 years ago.
Okay.
And they had a lot of trials, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of debt, and mm-hmm. God just kept blessing that. So, but I made a decision when I came to Trinity,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to tell anybody I was a musician.
Mm-hmm.
We had a different worship team for every week of the, it was all volunteer led.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of had a different leader for every week of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And they met, you know, the first week, first Sunday of the week would have Monday night practice.
Mm-hmm.
The next one would have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And so for about 4 years, just growing the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then Connie Lawson, who was running mm-hmm. the youth then and now running the children's then and now mm-hmm. running it now,
mm-hmm.
asked me to help the kids do like a children's worship night thing.
At some point, somebody found out you.
Yeah. So, yep. So we did a little thing with the kids, and someone said, "Hey, yeah, you're not half bad." And
just three quarters.
Yeah. Just you know, I'm really a hack on the guitar, trumpet and voice were my thing, but I love leading people in worship. So along this whole journey, I kept using the word music. But it really, it's always been worship,
mm-hmm.
whether it's brass or whether it's been singing or whether it's mm-hmm. been leading people.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
he gave you the gift, you're going to give it back. Kind
yeah,
of thing.
So after a while of serving on some of those teams,
mm-hmm.
The church made a decision that they wanted to have a worship pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And they approached me. John and Gary at the time, Pastor John, Pastor Gary,
mm-hmm.
said, "Hey, we'd like you to be our worship pastor
mm-hmm.
and kind of give some direction and... some consistency and
sure.
work with all of the teams." And so about 16 years ago, 15, 16 years ago, I came on here at Trinity. Mm-hmm. That was a fun day because I went to my board at Cran Hill.
Sure.
And I said, "Hey, guys, what do you think?" And they said, "Absolutely." They said, "You've always kind of done two things. It's your love.
Mm-hmm.
You love camp. You love music."
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, "Yeah." And then I remember the day I went to my staff and I said, "Hey guys, I'm not going to do this if you don't."
Right. If you're not for it, yeah.
You know, a lot of our staff still come to Trinity, went to Trinity at the time. In fact, mm-hmm. Don and Paula Nunn,
mm-hmm.
he was working with me and helping with development. And he mm-hmm. said, "Absolutely." I said, "Don, that's going to mean you're going to do a lot more of the church visits to some of our constituents." He said, "I'll do it. I'll be more than mm-hmm. happy to do that."
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been blessed. We've had some people like Rachel and
mm-hmm.
remember Josh and, mm-hmm. and Emily and others that have kind of been understudies and we've had some interns and that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. it's just been a real blessing because it is truly, I get to do the two loves, mm-hmm. lead people into worship, mm-hmm. into the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
I get to watch the Holy Spirit work among mm-hmm. the congregation and see people
mm-hmm.
just, my heart is to see people just authentically worship.
Yes.
I don't want to show. There are churches
right.
that do
oh, yeah.
shows and mm-hmm. the smoke and the lights and all of the things, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I just want genuine, authentic worship, and that means they'll sing, great. If it means silence and sitting,
mm-hmm.
oh man, that's what I love seeing. So...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get to do these two loves. I've been doing it now a long time. I love it. I love working with Rachel and, mm-hmm. and the group down there in mm-hmm. Nuevo. I love seeing you grow in some of those areas. You've got some skill and some passion and some talent. I love that. Rachel's just an amazing person.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a privilege to work alongside these folks. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, it's also a privilege is to look out and see a lot of our staff from Cran Hill enjoying worshiping
oh, sure.
here at our
oh,
church.
Praise God.
I love that.
Well, absolutely.
Seeing, it's kind of like seeing family,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
worship. So
absolutely.
It's really cool. So that's been a little bit of my timeline and my journey kind of skipped over. I'm old now, so it takes a little longer to get there than some people. But but I love it. In fact, I've been singing my heart out. That's why my voice is so raspy right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do want to talk about worship a little bit. You know, the staff folks we've talked to, Kevin and Patrick and Gary and John, you know, their roles are kind of a little less singular focus and they're a little bit broader. But really, when you talk about worship ministry, there's quite a tight focus there. And so I want to take a little time on the podcast. We've gotten to know you. We kind of know where your heart is. We know where you come from and what kind of fuels your passion. Talk to me a little bit about, and we have a little bit touched on your philosophy as far as worship ministry is concerned. Talk to me first about worship in general. What's going on there? What are we looking to see happen at the core? And then I'll have a couple follow up questions for you. What at the core is worship that we need to be doing corporately as a body of Christ?
You know, I'm a pretty simple guy.
Sure.
I just look at things simply. Mm-hmm. Worship to me is it should be our deepest expression of love poured out on the Father, on Jesus.
Okay.
I mean, if that's silence, if that's singing, there is something incredible in the scriptures where God instructs his people to sing unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of that universal language where we can sing unto God. So I think God has ordained music and that part of worship to be special.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we can worship him in everything we do.
Sure.
And so I'm not one of these worship guys who's like, it's always got to be this or it's always got to be that. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that their worship, is just silence. It's that you can worship while you work. You can be doing all things as unto the Lord, right?
Right, right.
But that corporate worship idea is where we are to, and this is kind of my philosophy.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Where we're to look, I call it a worship triangle. In fact, you've probably seen it when you fill out the application to be part of the worship ministry. It describes a worship triangle, and it's got a little inanimate type of guy with these triangles where the hope is that a congregation or people that are worshiping with you are looking to the worship team, the worship leader, and the goal is to look right past them as they reflect Christ, giving a pathway to Christ. Then they start with their eyes looking at you, but the goal would be look right past you, right to the Father, to the other angle,
right,
to the other line of the triangle.
Okay, got you.
So you got this triangle. So they're going to look here, but to get out of the way so that they're actually looking to Christ and to the Father. And so that concept of looking by us now, because it's not about us. We're just lead worshipers.
Right.
What's beautiful is I don't ever see it a performance with this voice. I've had this laryngitis for a couple of weeks. I'm still singing my heart. One of the sound guys said, man, that was a really great crack last week. I said, yep, but I'm going to keep cracking.
We'll keep cracking.
If I need to this week, if I don't have my voice back, I'm still going to sing my heart out. And if I crack, that's okay because I'm giving my heart to the Lord.
It's authentic.
And hopefully people will look past that.
And if God gets tired of hearing the crack, he'll get rid of it.
Yeah, you're right. Right, yeah. There was one spot, you know, this past week where I'm like, oh, boy, professionally that would have stunk, but God knew my heart was just focused on him.
Right, right.
And I've actually had so many people come to me time after time when something like that happens and go, Scott, I love that about you, that it's not a show. You're genuinely worshiping God. That means a lot.
That's heavy, and knowing that that's your heart and seeing, I think that's visible. I think that's evident. Like, there's nothing you're saying here that everybody's like, what? I don't see it. No, I think that shows. I think that shows there. I think it shows in Nuevo. Appreciate Rachel, like you mentioned. I mean, just Rachel, just she really wants to see. You can see that she really wants to see the name of Jesus lifted high, and for her to just get out of the way. And so it's good.
Excuse
it
me.
Shows. So talk to me about that that person, just for a second here, let's talk about that person that, you know, they just really don't seem to connect well with music. They want to participate in worship. Take a minute and talk to that person. Hey, I see you, and here's some encouragement. Give some encouragement there to that person. It's like, I don't sing. Worship is, you know, that music is not my thing. Talk to them.
Oh, well, this was not pre-thought, right? This is a on-the-spot question. I would say I intentionally don't look. I don't know if you've noticed that when you've had an opportunity to be up here, worship, I'm generally not looking at the crowd. I'm as human as the next guy. I don't want to look out and go see somebody not singing and be tempted to judge your heart.
Sure, sure.
You know, because again, like I said earlier, you don't have to sing to be worshiping. In fact,
right.
Crazy thought. A lot of times when I'm at another conference where I'm not the worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely stand in worship in silence.
Mm. Mm.
It's weird.
It is. Yeah, take your time.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. I love singing, but a lot of times I'm just kind of like, just trying to just take that in.
Right.
And so for that person, maybe that's what they need to do, is just be in silence and fix their eyes on Christ. One of the churches that I grew up in had a picture at the back of the sanctuary over the back door.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a picture, a very famous picture of Jesus out on a ledge reaching for that one sheep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember that. Crazy. I still remember that today because God is there for you, right?
Right.
And so for that person, they don't have to be a big singer. They don't have to. Just open their heart to God and let him speak to them.
Yeah.
Unpack
that just a little bit more. Open. If I'm not singing, what am I doing? Am I just listening to everybody? What am I doing there? Am I praying?
So I would say that the being still,
sure,
and knowing that I am God, right? Psalm 46.
Sure.
I don't think there's a whole lot of doing that's required. Right?
A lot of being.
The being, right? The Mary and Martha.
Right.
The difference between being a doer and a beer.
A human being versus a human doing. We're not human doings.
Right, right. I've said this for years is God wants us to be in Christ. He wants us to be still and know that he is God. And that doesn't mean, now, if you, God wants us to praise him and to worship him. That would be arrogant for anybody else other than God.
Oh, of course, right.
But he desires that because there's something that comes back to us. But for those people who aren't big singers, if you're there and you can just open your heart to the Lord and maybe even speak to him in your mind or in your voice, with your voice, while I'm singing, I don't care.
You don't care if I'm praying a separate prayer while you don't care if I'm talking quietly while everybody else is singing.
Just connect with the Father. It's that why God gave us that image of a married couple that represents Christ, the bridegroom and the bride, and throughout Scripture, there's many places where it's that intimacy that God wants with us and for us with Him.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can set a stage, so to speak,
right,
or do our very best to worship God and show you the Father, then you look right past us to Him.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in the way. I mean, I'm nothing fun to look at. I mean, I got her face for radio, you know.
Well,
so you know what I mean? It's not like I'm putting on a show.
Right.
It's I want to authentically worship the Lord and have the team authentically worship the Lord.
Right.
so that people will not even notice us and they will authentically worship.
Right.
We've got some great musicians at both campuses.
Oh, absolutely.
And, but I don't force them to be something they're not.
Mm-hmm.
There's some places you go and they'll want to teach you on how to maybe be a vocalist like some of these worship videos you see, mm-hmm. and that you've got to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. We have one of the most beautiful voices in the area I've ever heard, Your Honor, that sings with me. Singing with me this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying to her, I want you to jump around the stage and move your arms and do it. Mm-hmm. Man, this gal can just sing, and you just know the Lord is with her, and mm-hmm. she's got a peaceful spirit.
Mm-hmm.
She's a just a fantastic person, mm-hmm. but she's worshiping the way she is,
mm-hmm.
and that's she needs to be who she is in Christ.
Goes back to that authenticity, you know, of this, you know, if you fist pump at a football game, then you fist pump in worship. If at a football game you give a nice little clap, then give a nice little clap and worship. Just be who you are in every other situation and bring that before the Lord and without pretense. No, that's fantastic.
I think one of the other things that's important is that now I go to these worship gatherings that are in the Evangelical Free Church, and I'm one of the guys been around a while. You mm-hmm. know, I've been doing this now 35 years,
mm-hmm.
Both music and camping ministry,
mm-hmm.
And worship. And I think one of the things is not to be too impressed with yourself, you know. There's always a better musician out there.
Oh, yes.
There's always somebody more talented. And
oh,
there's,
yes.
And I, as I get older, I'm a huge failure and a sinner. Just like, you know, I'm being up front doesn't mean I'm any more perfect than anybody else. I've made mistakes. I've hurt people. I've done stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
But I've asked Jesus for his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I know his grace, you know.
Right.
And that's what I want people to feel.
Right.
And to experience with Christ, both here, both at camp, with mm-hmm. when I speak to kids or the families that come in our campground, in our home and the relationships. And new relationships and past relationships.
Sure.
I think that's critical. We all fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we don't deserve God's grace. But when He gives it,
mm-hmm.
it's just beautiful, mm-hmm. and we can lean into that.
Right.
Yeah.
So talk to me. Patrick, you know, has really done a fantastic job of outlining a vision, right? This gospel life process, this gospel life concept. And how do you see, as you've, you know, continued to lead the worship ministry here at Trinity Fellowship, and as you see this vision coming, where do you see the worship ministry in relation to these three areas that Patrick's laid out?
Yeah, well, it's woven into all three areas, really.
Sure.
If you think about
that a little bit.
Gospel life in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that people are going to stand around and worship together in their home,
mm-hmm.
but as you lead your families, as you enter into a gospel-fluent life mm-hmm. In our homes,
mm-hmm.
Our roots, remember he uses all these imagery of roots and trees and leaves,
mm-hmm.
should be rooted in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're rooted in Christ, he calls us into a deeper relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're in a deeper relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
you express your love to him,
mm-hmm.
just like in your marriage.
Sure.
As your marriage gets deeper through its ups and downs, as you your expression of love becomes beautiful in every way.
Right.
It should.
Sure.
It should.
Absolutely.
Anyway. So that's saying I love you as many times as you can to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's showing that you love your spouse. That's mm-hmm. taking out the trash or doing the dishes or filling in the gaps for your spouse. It's the same thing. as we're rooted in our in Christ in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
So worship, that expression of who our love for God is a part of that, right?
Okay, sure.
And so that expression weaves itself into each one of these, right? Mm-hmm. Into our communities.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do? Now, this isn't just worship corporately,
right?
Right, but it's worship in what you do. How do you live differently as a reflection of Christ out there?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Sunday mornings when you're worshiping corporately together, there's this great experience that happens together. But you've got to go out in the world, and if Christ is with you, that gives you that strength. And it gives you a purpose in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
When sometimes some of us do some menial tasks in our work, we can do all things as in Christ. Well, that energy that comes from the community, communal worship that you have together here in this building where we're sitting today on a Sunday, that takes itself back into your communities or in your homes or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he's got this great vision for the church, too, to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see how worship continues to be a part of that.
Right, absolutely. And that, just a little bit, as the community begins to grow and you talk about multi-site, et cetera, do you see some changes happening to, or do you see some changes that need to happen or some exciting changes that are happening where as we continue to, center that focus around this growth, do you see some practical everyday changes that are happening to your ministry, well, God's ministry through you? Do you see some changes happening or some changes you want to see happen in terms of worship ministry?
Well, I don't pretend to know how that's all going to unpack. However, I do know that we want to have live worship in each setting, authentic worship, and whatever that looks like. Certain communities, if we're in Grand Rapids, it's going to look different than, in Leroy, north of us,
Sure.
It's just going to be different. But how can that be authentic and encourage people to connect and genuinely and authentically worship God?
Right.
So I think God has equipped me with some leadership things that come along with having run a camp that I think we can I can be a part of developing those teams other places.
Sure.
You know, I come down to Newaygo, probably not as much as I'd like, but Rachel does such a great job down there, and so did Josh before that. But we're going to have to replicate those things. I think we've got a pretty good system of how we replicate our music. I won't say style, but really our culture.
Sure, culture. I like that. I like that
the culture.
Than style.
Yeah, it's more of how what our culture is and that culture of authenticity. And not to say that people who do more production aren't authentic at all, because I know the heart a lot of those guys are.
Right.
For us, I think we can. I think we'll be able to come right alongside the church as God moves. If we have other campuses and that kind of thing,
and support that vision through the worship ministry. No, it's good to just kind of hear the different aspects of that, of what that's going to take, and everybody's got a little part to play in that. I think God calls the whole body to that, and so it's just interesting to.
I would say that it's probably easier for me than the tech guys. We've got some awesome tech guys, and that's where the rubber meets the road when you start multiplying campuses.
Mm-hmm.
Is how do you multiply your tech and do that well?
Mm-hmm.
And I think those guys are doing a great job. So I think God has equipped us for exactly where He has us right now.
Good.
Through. I've been here in the church 20 years, 15 or so as worship, and God used Pastor Gary and the elders and the people all up until this point, and that's how He does it, right? That's
right.
How He does it in the church.
Exactly.
Is, you use Moses and then there's Joshua, right?
Right.
And you just kind of keep, God keeps using. It's a privilege to be a part of it, come alongside of the folks here and But really, for me, it's kind of simple. It boils down to I get to do what I love.
Right.
I just get to just to reveal God as best we can on a Sunday so people can embrace him.
So I think one final question, Scott, and I think it you know, we've done this a couple of times, and what are the needs, both through prayer and through just, you know, people just stepping up? What are the needs of the worship ministry at Trinity Fellowship? And this is across both campuses. Do we need bodies? Do we need prayer? Obviously we need prayer, but what are the needs of the worship ministry right now?
You know, it's funny. Absolutely, prayer.
Of course.
And we have some great prayer warriors. I get emails from people all the time saying, hey, just want you to know we're praying for you and the team.
Praise God.
I love that. But as you're talking there, in real time, my brain went right toward, there's a little difference between Nuevo campus and Big Rapids campus. And I think, and I could be wrong here, so folks who are listening to this, I could totally be wrong. But I think a lot of people here in Big Rapids look up and go, hey, they look like they're doing great. It's, you know, we've got some great musicians. And we've got some great people who love leading worship. And I think there's some people in our congregation that have skill, have talent, and calling that go, man, they look up and they go, it might not be, you know, Brandon Lake and those guys, but they do pretty good. They don't really need me. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
I think they might look and go, they don't really need me. I'm not good enough. I think in Nuevo, being a little more smaller, a little more like family, people look up there and go, wow, that's pretty good. I want to be a part of that.
Gotcha.
More like a small family.
Right.
In this setting, I think we get a little bit more of people who go, they don't really need me.
They got it figured out.
They're doing it. And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Okay.
I've got holes throughout the whole worship ministry that we could fill.
Sure.
That doesn't mean that we're not filling them with the teams we have.
Right.
But if there's someone out there in our team that is a drummer that thinks, oh, those guys are so much better than me. Right now I've got two drummers. They kind of, you know, people in a town like ours here in Big Rapids, that's the other thing. In Big Rapids, being a college town, it's a little more transient. People kind of come and go. Professors come here and then they may move. So that's another thing that happens. So like we had a great drummer who was here for 4 years and now he graduated, he's gone.
Right.
So we've got a couple holes for drummers. I need some piano players. And it's not that difficult. I can teach them. There's some people that have formal piano training and they look at the music and they're more like a technician and they go, I can't do chords. I can show you how to do that. It's an easy transition. Vocalists. I certainly prefer people that know how to harmonize. You know, when that song comes on the radio and they're singing a different part and they know that, love to have that person. But someone who doesn't harmonize, man, and they just have a heart of worship, I don't care. Come on up. It's a lot more participatory than I think what people realize. So if you're out there listening to us and a part of our church family, man, I'd love to have you come. And I'll be honest with you, if you come to a practice and you just can't hold a tune and you got a heart of worship, I'm still going to have you up there, but you might not have a mic, you know, but I just want to see, I want you to worship God. But if you, you know, I want you to be a part of it. Yeah, if you've got a heart for it, I want people to come and fill out, you know, we've got the form online that helps us know what people can do and can't do.
Sure.
And then we do a little time where they come to a practice a couple of times and see how it goes for them. But I think that's the biggest thing is we've got needs and people think, oh, they've got it and they don't need me.
So what you're saying, we probably do need you. If you're thinking that, we probably do need you, even though it might not look like it.
Yeah. And you know what I love? You've gotten involved and there's a whole bunch of people involved out in Nuevo. And it's got a different feel there. And I love that feel. In fact, I love coming down and lead with you guys. But people come in and jump in. You got multiple people on mics, and it's kind of more like family. I think people feel like we're maybe maybe from somebody's perspective, we're a little too polished.
Mm-hmm.
And others are going to go, yeah, that's not polished enough.
Right.
But we're
right.
just trying to serve the Lord. And if people have a heart for it, we want people to join us in authentic worship.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I would say that's probably one of the bigger needs, even right now, tech mm-hmm. people. People who don't can't
man,
sing.
Do we need tech.
I'd love to have tech people. Yeah.
Do we need tech.
Yeah, we got tech people, and we can train it. They don't have to be an expert. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to keep
it
simple.
We have a system in place and we keep it simple. So
that's my cry to my shout out to our community. Go, give me a call. Let's get you plugged in. If you got a heart for it, let's see.
And so then I would say from a prayer perspective, from what I'm hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing is just a prayer to maintain the authenticity that each person up there can maintain that culture of authenticity where they can really be who God sees them as and act that way in worship, even to you. You're having a rough day or whatever, and you need to be up there, that you would still be able to authentically lead in worship. Is that accurate as far as a prayer request?
Sure. Yeah, I would say that. I
anything else that you would request prayer for?
Well, I think just to follow up on that thought, a lot of times people see pastors or people who are on stage that somehow they're perfect. We're not. We are sinners saved by grace just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so... We're just trying to use our gifts and connect with God in the way that God has helped enabled us to. You know, music and worship is the place I connect with God,
right?
The most,
right?
So I think that prayer for people to really be able to continue to connect with God on the team,
right?
And live authentic lives that are Christ filled and transformative for them in Christ and for others.
Right.
I think those are all key things because people on the worship team, they all have things going on and struggles. Family sickness and family ups and downs
Life.
There's life. So, and that's what family's like. So we don't try to put any pretenses for us, at least, hopefully people know that about me. I'm pretty authentic.
Like, sure.
I don't fake cry.
This is who I am.
This is who I am. This is who I am. I'm just right out there. I'm going to give it my all. Mm-hmm. So that would be another prayer request for folks.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Scott, this has been just wonderful, you know, being a part of the worship ministry in Nuevo and just, again, getting kind of a vision into kind of where you're coming from and what makes you tick and what your passion is. And you know, we talk about the intro here that pre-recorded, of course, but the intro here of the people behind the ministry and the passions that drive them to serve. And I think we've really captured some of that today. And I just want to thank you for taking the time. Busy guy here with all these things going on in camp and whatnot. Thanks for making this work schedule wise.
No problem.
Because it's really just absolutely been a pleasure and has just really ministered to me just to hear your story and hear what's behind that. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm very fortunate to be able to get to do this. And I've got an amazing, I mentioned my first son, but I've got three adult kids, an amazing wife of 36 years, and now three grandkids. And I'm blessed to be able to, like I said, to do the two things I love. I'm going to do them both as long as I can. I hope people will come alongside and join us in it. I'll appreciate you being down there, helping Rachel with whatever you can help with. You've done some leading. You've done some tech. I love that. I love the fact that you jump in too. So I appreciate you a lot. And God is good. And it's good to serve at Trinity.
Well, good. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you Sunday.